Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one.
Hey, this is going to be a lot of fun. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Solution Czar with Kinetics HR, Mr. Larry Kilstadius. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Nice to be here again.
So, Larry, can you share a little bit about Kinetics? What are you doing for folks?
So, if I'm going to summarize Kinetics, it's really simple. It's all about talent, and it's all about talent in a different way. So, our approach to the world of talent is thinking about how do you attract the best talent for a company? So, having their employer value proposition locked in tight. Then how do you get that message out? What's the content? If I'm a talent, why do I want to care about your company? Mm-hmm. How do I come back? And then even more important, maybe, is retaining that talent. Because let's face it, we'd love you to keep recruiting and have turnover because that's a lot of income for us.
Job security for you guys, right?
But at the end of the day, you want to help companies retain that talent too. And it's really different. Our approach is different than what I'll call the big corporate entities that go after this, and we call them the donut makers, because they'll go after companies, that are really recruiting 15, 20,000 people at a shot. Shotgun approach, low LCD, we call it, kind of recruiting. And we're really more about getting to know you, developing that really true employer value proposition and going after, single shot rifle talent.
And aiming at the person that's going to stick around for a little bit.
Correct.
Now, is there a different strategy in today's job market just because it seems that the attention span of the employee is, their framework of a job is maybe different than it was 10 years ago?
So I find this to be the biggest irony in talent ever. So everybody, people are making a living right now telling people what the millennials want.
Right.
Guess what? Same thing the baby boomers wanted. Same thing Gen X wanted. They all want the same thing. And it's, I want flexibility. I want to be told how I'm doing on my job. I want, quote unquote, feedback, real feedback. And I want the opportunity to take my career in whatever direction I want to take it in, whether that's up, parallel, or stay in place. And guess what? The difference is this. The millennials are the first ones who actually planted that flag and stuck to it.
Right. They opened their mouth and then kind of made it a non-negotiable.
Exactly. So what we're finding is, it's a lot harder, especially on the Global 1000, because, it's sort of been, you want to be here because we have all the toys.
Right.
And what's happening is the millennials kind of looked at it and go, I don't really like your toys that much. As a matter of fact, your toys don't really matter to me. And what's happened is then that's cascaded to the rest of the workforce. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, us lovely over 50 folks found out, we can ask for this stuff too. And we don't have to put up with all this other kind of clutter, I'll call it, that goes with it.
And it's some of it is, I guess, the millennials grew up in a more turbulent kind of youth where they saw their parents have what they thought were secure jobs and had kind of this, Norman Rockwell existence. And then that got disrupted and that kind of left a scar, I think, on some of them.
I call this sort of the waterfall effect. So the baby boomers went over the waterfall first with this no longer employed for life thing going away.
Right.
So they saw that. And then they saw the Gen Xers not even able to get on a raft. They couldn't even get on the stream, let alone go over the waterfall.
Right.
Because there just weren't any jobs when the Gen Xers were graduating. So their point of view was very different. Now, it was a very skeptical and sort of more of a, I'm going to play this card a little bit more carefully.
Right.
Than the other two generations in the workforce ahead of me.
And then maybe be less motivated by materialistic things and more on the softer things?
Mission. What's your mission? What's my purpose? And there's, Simon Sinek says this so well, what's your why?
Mm-hmm.
And if a company doesn't have a why, which we define as an employer value proposition, which is why should I be here? And by the way, negative themes are okay. I have a client. And in their postings for their talent, they flat out say, if you're going to come and work here, and these are their words, if you're going to come and work here, kiss your wife or husband, you won't see him for 2 years. We're a startup and we're going to work you to death. And guess what? For some people, That's awesome.
Right. It's authentic.
That's the, and it, right. Yeah. And it defines who they want to be at this point in their life.
Right. It's not for everybody, but they don't want everybody.
That's right. Because guess what? If you are the person that that's not right for you, you might come if they kind of softened it. Oh no, it's okay.
It'll we'll make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll see your kid play softball.
Right.
Yeah. And then you get there and it's like, no.
No. And then everybody's mad.
Yes.
So now, how is it when you're having these conversations with the employer? Are they, I mean, they must be seeing this too. This can't be news to them that this is the new world order.
Well, it's interesting because what's happening is you go to these companies, and we will not name names, but I will say very recently, big name brand company everybody's heard of, and you look at their value proposition, what they think is their employer branding, and it's been done by marketing, mm-hmm. which is air, number one, because marketing is aspirational, not authentic. You know, right. They're telling, I had a guy who used to work for the big beverage company here in town, and mm-hmm. he called marketing the big lie. So they had this value proposition. It was just basically mom apple pie. You know, we're wonderful, you're wonderful, right. Let's all be wonderful.
We're a big family.
Yeah, and this is going to be an amazing experience. And they have like this video with the, you know, Ted Baxter, dating myself, Anchorman voice. And, you know, the Blue Angels flying over right. The Rockies with fireworks. And talent gets into the office and it's literally, you know, cubicle canyon.
Right.
And, you know, there's no Blue Angels flying over. And they're like, where are the fireworks, dude?
And then we're reorging every 18 months too. So.
Yes. And that's just not authentic. Mm-hmm. I mean, more authentically would be for this company, I'll just call this one what it was. They are in transition.
Right.
And I have to give them credit. They're aware that they're behind. So what they really need to do to be authentic, so forget the voice man, they need to have videos of real people talking about the journey they're trying to go on.
Right.
And what's this transition look like?
But that means that they're being vulnerable and not a lot of companies want to be vulnerable.
That's true. That's true, which is ironic again, because being vulnerable scores you big points.
In the talent of today.
Exactly.
They're drawn to that.
I mean, you look on career sites of companies and you see the companies who get it, they'll have these pictures on their career site and they're sort of fuzzy or out of focus or the lighting's bad. And guess what? That's great because that means one of their employees actually took that picture.
Right.
Probably put it on Instagram.
Right.
And this company's smart enough to pull content out of their social media and throw it on their career site and say, look, real people work here.
So now what's your day-to-day look like?
So my day-to-day is more, I'll call it a week-to-week. Most of my time during the week, I'd say 50% of my time is talking to the chief human resource officer of our company and talking about what I'll call the strategic part of talent, which is the employer value proposition. Mm-hmm. And then how do you do recruitment marketing to get that message out to the right talent? And by the way, defining what even that looks like in the first place, what is the cohort that I'm going after? There's some great research out there that talks about the different cohorts and how they bond to different types of companies. And by the way, you sort of need all the cohorts in your company. So example of a cohort would be the person who's very, very already career focused. And what they're looking at when they look at your career site is, what's my path? Right. Do you have a defined path for me? Because I'm a go-getter and I want to go somewhere. But oh, by the way, there's always the other person who is, you know, we'll call steady valued. You know, they're not looking to go burn the world up. They are really good at something they do. And they really, really like doing that something they do.
And maybe they're more security oriented.
Right. And they're really looking at, how does the thing I'm really good at fit into your company's overall plan?
Right.
That's their thing.
Because that's a totally different strategy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you sort of need what we call microsites mm-hmm. on your career site to appeal to all those. So we spend a lot of time there. So that's probably 50% of my week. And then I'd say a good 25% is actually putting together, from when they get past the strategy, getting really into the what I'll call the hard work, which is actually putting a solution together that they can take from strategy to executing, recruiting for the talent.
Now, are you spending your time kind of just educating them? Because is this something that they can't do internally? Because I would imagine that companies of that size have HR. They already have these functions.
Sure. So 2016 was a tipping point. So our company prides itself on being really ahead of the curve. So we were doing what we're talking about now.
Before it was cool.
Yes, 4 or 5 years ago. Right. I mean, we were already on social marketing. We were already on social media. Mm-hmm. We were already pulling together career sites were different. You look at our Kinetics career site, it's very, very different than any staffing or talent firm you'd ever see. 16, funny thing happened. Companies started waking up and realizing they were missing the boat. And all of a sudden, you looked at all these companies, they're all of a sudden advertising for social media content, digital marketing people for their HR area.
Right, that was unusual.
Unusual. And it was great for us because we went from having to educate to actually talking about, okay, how do you make this happen?
Right.
And let's be clear, there are still some companies you had to educate last year. This year, really minimal education. Everybody knows they need to do it. The word's out. And now it's a matter of how you do it. And the big battle now is trying to get the ownership for HR out of marketing's hands. That's the big battle. And we want to help them be equipped to make that conversation.
So now when you're working with these companies and you're building the strategy and then you're helping them actually execute the strategy, is it something that you kind of train them on and then you're done and then they run it themselves, or is it something you manage for them?
Well, so we can do both. We can help you develop your employee value proposition and then help guide HR to coach marketing, because sometimes marketing is just not going to let it go. In mm-hmm. some companies, they have the power more than HR on this space. And that's unfortunate, but it's just never going to be out of their hands. So, okay.
And that just means it's not a good fit for your firm. Probably,
well, no.
Right?
What's good for us to help them develop the EVP, the employee value proposition.
Right.
We can do that.
Oh, so then you just play at that level.
Yep. And then we're out.
Then you're like, okay, good luck.
Consulting gig, basically.
In 6 months, call us when you're having problems.
And that's exactly what happens. So
that's their entire sales strategy.
They come back. They come back around. And you know, we have a lot of other products, quote unquote, services we sell. So mm-hmm. we have then the conversation on some other things. You know, what about the actual, what I'll call tactical recruiting itself? What about developing the people that you're bringing into the company with our boss training? So we have other, you know, arrows in the quiver, so to speak. But what we do find is that most companies, once they see the light on this and we can show them data, you know, we have real client data, we can show them the power of what this does to you're creating a talent pool for the company. CHROs typically buckle up and win the day here. Now, what happens is we work with the marketing communications people, because let's be clear, we don't want to go off brand.
Right.
And we don't want to go off what I'll call voice with air quotes. You know, we need to be in their voice, because frankly, if we don't, then we're not authentic to the entire company's brand.
Right.
And you have to be that as well.
And that's what they should be fighting for, is that authenticity anyway.
Correct.
Now, when you're working with the companies and you're getting the people through there, you mentioned that you're taking the employee through all stages, or the talent through all stages, right? So you can attract them, you can help them hire them, and then you can help them train them as well?
We can. And that's a smaller part of our business. Again, if you think about most larger companies, they already have a training department. They're already doing training. And a lot of them are really good at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, you know, employee development. Yeah, they've already had their tipping point. I mean, companies got it. I'd say a while back ago that you really have to take care of talent and develop your talent. It's a lot less expensive than finding new talent. Our differentiator here is we're not trying to come in and be your program. You know, we're not going to be a two-year development program. What we are is the adrenaline shot. Let's say your program's just getting a little stale, or it's not quite as jazzy as you think maybe the millennials need or a certain cohort group needs. We come in, and if you even look at the names of our training, I mean, it's, you know, just shut up, don't bore me, pop right. the hood. Right. I mean, we have very tongue-in-cheek names for our training, and it's all pop culture based. So we do a lot of video work, which we, you know, our studies show people respond to, and super interactive. So we'll come in and do a day or two program just to energize a group and get them back on track.
So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work for you guys? Like, how do you get to have this conversation with the folks that are going to write you a check and let you help them?
So going back to being really cutting edge and leaders in the space of social media and understanding the power of Twitter, the power of Instagram, the power of LinkedIn, the power of Facebook. One of our founders, or actually one of our partners, Shannon's a founder, but she brought Chris Dunn in. And Chris Dunn is one of the leading HR bloggers in the world. Forget America. His blogs, Fistful of Talent and the HR Capitalist, are two of the highest rated and most read blogs anywhere in the world on HR. He basically gets about 150,000 readers a week. So We do very little outreach marketing. We don't do cold calling. We don't do list calling. We don't go out and try and do it that way. It really comes to us based on our blogs. Mm-hmm. So these readers will read the blog. They're snarky. You know, we say...
But by design, right?
Yes.
That's the authenticity of your firm.
If you put HR into three buckets, this is what we always say. So a third of the people who read our blogs are offended. The librarian HRs. And we don't want them as a client. And then there's a third that go, oh, it's a little edgy, but oh, there's a really good information in here. And they might be a client.
Right.
And there's a third that go, holy smokes, this is me.
Right.
I am innovative. I'm not stodgy HR. I'm the new way of HR. And these guys, these are my people.
Right.
And so those people tend to contact us. And we track it like, you know, we're very data oriented. Mm-hmm. So we have a system we use to track people. We score them based on how they interact, how many page views, how long they linger. When they hit a certain score, they become our people. So we'll reach out to them in what I'll call a gentle outreach. Hey, thanks for being part of our community. By the way, if you're really looking to work with us as a company, you know, here's who we are. And a lot of times they reach out to us. So there are famous name brands that have literally called us up. You ever have a Fat Tire beer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. New Belgium. Just, you know, hey, you're our people. We're quirky. You're quirky. Let's do business.
Right.
So that happens a lot.
Now, is that the same strategy if you're recruiting? Should you take that same, like, find the influencers in the space and then kind of find ways to partner with them?
I would say this. If you're trying to recruit talent to your company, the strongest thing you can do that'll help your internal recruiting team so you never have to go use a Kinetics, you know, hopefully not too many of those, is developing that very authentic value proposition for your company and using media to reach that content out to the world, really posting out. And I mean, you can't do it. You can't put a Twitter account up.
Right.
And
you know, post once.
Yeah,
and
post
think
once
you're done.
A month. Right. You know, this is a pace. And this is why most companies really need someone like Kinetics, mm-hmm. because they don't have the internal
infrastructure to really execute at the level you have to in order to be everywhere you need to be.
Because you think about this, you need great writing because you have to be able to be clever and get people's attention. You have to have video skills because mm-hmm. video has become the way of the world. And you have to actually be able to know how to, I'll say, work between the lines of the social media sites, because every site has its own way. You know, Snap is very different than Twitter,
sure.
which is very different than Facebook.
Right.
So you have to have that methodology for each social site that works for that social site. Most companies just don't have those skill sets. We have a team of people, so we have them.
Now, what about LinkedIn? Where does that fit in this mix?
So LinkedIn is interesting right now, right? Because Microsoft bought them,
right.
and they've redesigned their whole site, which... A lot of people don't like because we hate change.
Right.
I frankly think, you know, whatever. If this was the site 10 years ago, they'd be mad about the other site.
Right.
It's going to evolve, right? LinkedIn still is the heavyweight for if you want to find professionals. Let's just be clear. It is, you can't not be there. But there's this thing called Glassdoor creeping up over the horizon, holding people hostage. Because what happens now when good talent starts talking to a company, the very first thing they do, they go to Glassdoor and see how people are talking about them. Right, probably before they even go to the LinkedIn page. Mm-hmm. They do go to the LinkedIn page as well. And then what they do is they sort of sleuth out some of the leaders in the company, find their profiles and see what they look like
right.
and sound like.
So they're just leveraging all the resources.
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, dark posts on Facebook. A lot of people don't even know that Facebook has dark posts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have this whole system where you can post in to people by rifle shot based on what they say on their Facebook profile. And it's really clever. And most companies don't even know it even exists. So again, you have to have these people that deeply know how to work these things.
Right, because that's all they're thinking about is 24/7.
Right.
That's which right. is different than these people who are like, hey, I need a new person. How do I do this? You know?
Let's just post on Monster Career Builder
right.
and Indeed.
And just wait.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's not going to work anymore.
Not at all.
So now, what do you need more of? What are you looking for? More clients? More talent? It's probably the never-ending search for talent, right?
It's an and. Because of how we do business, there's unique skill sets that recruiters have that we need. So we do need recruiters who are social
savvy. Oh, so you need the actual recruiters to help find the talent.
Sure, because that's the biggest part of our business. When it gets down to it, now, you know, the EVP work and the recruitment marketing is very sexy, very fun, very strategic, gets you at the top of the house.
Right.
When it's all said and done, what really drives revenue for the company is, you know, recruiting. Good old-fashioned, here's a rec, talk to my hiring manager, and recruit me somebody. And for that, you need strong people. And we have a very different way of approaching recruiting for our recruiters. We really pay for performance. And you can do super well at our company if you're a hotshot. And
so typically there are people who are recruiting for other firms that you come in there, or do you train people that have potential and then
so we're not
make them stars?
I'll say we're not an academy company. So we're not going to take someone who's just got a lot of potential and help them get there. They have to show, you know, we want people who've actually recruited. But we bring some really fun tools to the party and some different ways of helping them view how to do their work so that they can be more productive. I mean, recruiters are a lot like salespeople.
Sure.
You know, they typically can be, you know, let's be candid, money driven. Mm-hmm. And so guess how you make money? By placing people. And we have tools that help people be three times more productive than when they come in the door. And so they really like that. But it's a certain pace that we have. We have a very fast pace. Again, not for everybody.
Right.
If you're very happy sitting back and being a corporate recruiter and going to a lot of meetings and having, you know, lunches.
May not be the right fit.
It's not going to be the right fit. That's true.
And then your recruiters, though, they can be anywhere or they have to be Atlanta-based?
Anywhere. We're virtual. I would say our mix right now is about 2/3 in Atlanta and 1/3 wherever they are.
And your clients are everywhere as well.
True. Yep. Very much so.
And then how important is for your, when you're managing your clients, do you go face-to-face or is everything happening virtually now?
So interesting. The sales process has become very virtual, which I'm shocked at. Mm-hmm. And this has changed really in the last year, I think. We've sold so much business never meeting the person or the team in person. Just all, you know, Skype or appear in and these different tools where you see them online and talk to them. And you don't go see them until they're ready to really get going. And you have this, you know, discovery meeting to go out and figure out how you're going to really put everything in place. I'm surprised. And it's a pretty big deal to hand over the keys to talent and, you know, they never meet us.
Yeah, so that seems like a switch, I guess.
It's huge.
I guess it's the young, it becoming younger generation. They're more comfortable in that space, so they're more apt to take that leap.
And I also think there's so many more ways for a client, a prospect, to investigate you.
Mm-hmm.
So they know you're real.
So they feel comfortable.
I mean, think about it. In the old days, it was a voice on a phone.
Right.
I mean, you could be like boiler room, right? They never knew. But these days, you can't hide. I mean, they can go find you all over media, are these guys real? What do they look like? And they all, there's a thousand ways to discover you. And it's so funny, when we now ask for, do you need referrals? Need references? Oh, no, we did that already.
Right. They wouldn't have been talking to you.
They already talked to people and they already know them. Yeah, you know, that's already done up front in this day and age. It is kind of amazing.
So I'd like to get, before we wrap, just some counsel from you, if we could, on the other side of the desk, the person that is seeking employment. Are there some things that they definitely should do or should not do to make themselves attractive enough to have a meaningful conversation with like a Kinetics and or the folks Kinetics are recruiting for?
Perfect. So let me divide this into two groups. Already a professional, already out there, already have a built-up career status. Get your LinkedIn right. It's the first thing people look at. Have it right. And by the way, have a picture that's decent. Don't have a picture of you.
Your seatbelt?
Yeah.
That's not a good one?
Holding up a beer. Okay. No. Have a picture that's decent. Take the time to curate your LinkedIn profile, knowing that that's where they're going to look first and foremost. Second, clean up your social media. And I'm looking at you, millennials. Lock it down at least while you're doing your career site. I'm not saying take everything off your Facebook page or thank God Snapchat goes away, right?
Right.
But by the way, there are ways to find you on Snapchat, which we know how to do, and we'll find your stories and better lock that down too. So what I'm saying to you is, if you're not willing to go fix it, lock it down so no one can see it while you're in job mode. Mm-hmm. Because I can tell you 100%, we all go there, we all look. And if you have a bunch of crazy stuff on your social media, it's going to hurt you.
Now, from the employer standpoint, what is some of the pains they're having and where they're like, hey, you know, we should call those folks at Kinetics?
Oh, it's really what we just talked about, is they haven't really locked in why people want to come to work for them. So they're sort of just posting out there and praying. They don't have, again, goes back to the talent in your recruiting department. They may have wonderful people who are great at developing relationships with their hiring managers, but they're not what I'll call hunters, right? They're farmers. So they're used to the old idea of, hey, I work XYZ
company. They're going to come to me.
They're going to come to me. And they don't do it anymore.
Right.
So now you have to actually go hunt, and most of them are not good at hunting. Hunting's hard.
And then, so is turnover, is that a symptom? Like if they're having high turnover or they're in high growth mode and they're not able to find the right candidate, they're getting frustrated?
So let me dispel a myth here. Recruiters don't cause turnover. Period. Guess what, hiring manager? You did the interview. You said give the person an offer. Mm-hmm. You are managing them day to day. Don't go back to recruiting in 90 days and say, oh, this
didn't work.
You did something wrong. Yeah. You found the wrong person. They fooled me. No, you didn't pay attention.
So maybe they don't have the right systems in place.
Or the right culture.
Right.
I mean, we've had, you know, and this is really true, ironically, in some of the places you'd think would have lower turnover, where it's very secure companies, very, you know, been around a long time, they don't lay off. What happens though is they have these crushing cultures, and people have sort of a still this entitled I'm employed for life mentality. So the managers don't do a good job, the leaders don't do a good job of actually leading and staying on top of things. So it's just, you know, either really boring to work there, or they micromanage in the old school way of management. Mm-hmm. And the new talent won't put up with it.
Right.
And they'll leave. So we have to go in and try and help them fix that. We have a lot of clients where we go in and, you know, we're doing a great job and we're recruiting, and the people are just going right out the door 6 months to a year later. And we have to come back to the company and say, look, you have a
culture problem.
Yeah, you got a hole in this bucket. Let's analyze what's going on.
Right.
Because it might not be culture. It might be a specific leadership area.
Oh, it could be somebody. It
might be Bob.
Yeah.
Got to fix Bob.
Yep. It could be Bob.
All right. So if somebody wanted to learn more, the website for you guys?
It's very easy. www.kineticshr.com.
And then I'm sure you're on all the social channels.
You can find us really easily.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
That was great. Thanks, guys.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.